What's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lo lili ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Here we go. Just one bell for you. Okay, that means, well, you wouldn't recognize the subtle differences between the little bells and the big bells, but that's the Road Trek bell, and of course that's where I am on this beautiful, mild, warm day. A lot of the snow has melted. The Road Trek has no snow on it at all, and that's why I'm sitting inside Sal now. It is March the 7th, 2020, a Saturday. I was headed out here probably around 11 o'clock this morning, and then my cousin called from Russell. We got into a long talk. We always cover my health, his health, politics. And then I continued to do my exercises, then decided, well, now it's close to lunchtime. May as well have lunch. And I listened to podcasts, Lay for a While with a Cat, to Bill Maher, who I faithfully listen to every week. And then more cat time, and finally some leftover rice with shrimp and chicken that my wife had prepared. She makes a couple of dishes every night for my son and myself of just extras. So when he gets home at whatever, 3, 4 in the morning or sometimes later, there's something there if he's hungry. She's very good that way. And anyway, so I was able to enter by the side door. It's still the one thing about the leg, you're not being able to bend fully. You're supposed to get it to be able to bend to like 115 degrees, so 90 degrees right angle. It's got to go past that. Or no, 105, so 15 more degrees. And I'm not there yet. So it is still tricky getting in and out of vehicles. But I've been very fortunate having people drive me to and from the doctor's appointments. And it's great that everything is set up and in place. And I'm taking advantage of this time in the winter, soon to be spring, to nurse myself back to good health. And a lot of that is, gosh, I forgot to take my afternoon Percocet. Maybe I should skip one. Could I do that? Yeah, I could do that. Is the medication just helps me sleep or rest, and that's not a bad thing. I've mentioned that. So, update on the health, of course. What else you're going to get? You know to expect that now. I was really worried about my right hand. Remember, I was going on about it. Maybe it's got neuropathy. I can't hold chopsticks. I can't even hold a spoon or a pen. I can't type anymore. But I realized it is just three fingers, my middle, my index, and my thumb. And yesterday I saw a neurologist, and she did a couple simple little tests. Do you feel this? Yeah, oh, yeah, I feel that. Ooh, I don't like it. Do you feel this? Nope, don't feel anything. Feel this? Yeah. Feel it on this hand? Yeah. Same? Different? Nope, same. So, those kind of tests. I probably have carpal tunnel syndrome. And now, looking back, that makes perfect sense. And it's a huge relief, because I really was worried this was a result of the stenosis in the neck. And what happened in both my feet has spread to my hands, which, you know, they say in the reports this could well happen. But no, it's got the signs of carpal tunnel. Now, that in itself is still a problem. Hey, it's numb. I'm wearing a hand brace now that I had lying around the house from the last time something like this happened. It's treatable by minor surgery on the wrist. And, but first we've got to have, not x-rays, the next step up, ultrasound done on the wrist. And to do that, I had to book. My doctor said, oh, you can just go up there and they'll do it now. And, I guess she's not that familiar with how busy the hospitals are. When I went up, she said, no, there's nobody here now who could do that. Now it's a specialist. Come back in 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, I'll get that step, and then the decision goes from there. Okay, now do you refer to another specialist who does the surgery, and so on. So I may be in for the more surgery. God damn, if you are not a person like I was who does not like hearing about old people's health stories, this must really be hell. Now, some of my listeners are older, so some of those people would be counting their blessings, like my good friend Rob out in Singapore is thinking, oh, thank God I've been active all my life, riding bikes and, you know, just doing stuff. Rob has always been into that and very active. Biker and just a guy who just doesn't sit around like I do. And so he's probably saying, God, you know. I was always old to him anyway. He knows that. But Rob is a regular listener to the Dixon James podcast. He's just reminded me. Thank you, Rob. Much appreciated. And so people like that are thinking, oh, God, I forgot I'm not in Ken's shoes. And other people would be thinking, oh, my God, yeah, I got some of that, too. Oh, yeah, that's coming for me. Oh, yeah, my knee's been bugging me. I got to have that replaced, probably. So things just do catch up to you eventually, sooner or later. Health is going to grab a hold of you and not let go. And that's where I'm at. But again, it's a boring subject. So last time I talked about a little bit about the Barstool Buddha. And today, for whatever reason, oh, I know. Because I have all this downtime now that I've given myself time to relax. So I've been watching, Star Trek. My God, there's over 30 episodes on the first season. These days, like a season is like 14 episodes, maybe. In those days, it was well over 30. And so it's going to take a long time to get through them, but I'm determined to go through the first three seasons. So I've been watching that. Gave up on Mad Men. And then, gosh, there's some other shows. And then just today or yesterday, I realized, there's a YouTube I've got access to. So not just my own channel, of course, but you can find, if you just Google Scarborough Dude, you'll find my channel. And I'm overdue for making another episode of Basement Artifacts, but I can't go down in the basement. I can't. There's no handrail. It's too dangerous for me to go down those stairs. So I might have to do one in the in our dining room. And I have things that would belong in the bar normally, but they're too nice. So anyway, I discovered, oh my God, I've got all these. There is so much stuff on YouTube. I just had the music channel, so I'm watching old Bowie interviews, David Bowie. The Beatles. Dick Cavett with Janis Joplin. And just, you could go on forever. I understand now how people do get lost in these things and a day is gone. The thing is, I can afford the time. That's the beauty of this. Like, hey, I don't have to feel guilty spending an evening just going through random YouTube videos. Because what else am I going to do at this point? I'm holding off everything to do with my study tour, and I'm just waiting for the word of cancellation, but that might be at least a full month before I'm told anything. So we'll have to sit tight on that. If there's a bit of background noise, it is the generator, which you should be running for 20 minutes a month. With a load, you should be actually charging something up, but I don't have to. And the motor, of course, the engine's on. I guess I could shut that off. The engine doesn't really need to be on. There we go. So watching all this stuff, and I was, God, that's a lot of fun, seeing people. And so, like, I watched the Thin White Duke era of David Bowie. I don't even know that era. And this was from the mid-70s when he was in Hollywood or in the States and doing a lot of cocaine and almost like a neo-Nazi-type fascist time of his life, which he looks back and says was the darkest period of my whole life. And I thought, God, I'm not familiar, but it made me think of, okay, well, when did I tune into him? And I moved to Vancouver in 1972. Probably wasn't until about 74 when I had my apartment on my own, the one on West 2nd Avenue, just off Lonsdale. Wonderful, wonderful place I've mentioned before, that historic building. And went out one weekend and bought Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, Hunky Dory, Pinups, and Aladdin Sane. Now, I bought three of those four albums, but I had all four. And they're all, like, concurrently, like, from 71, I guess. from Hunky Dory, which I absolutely loved, and it was just different music, and it fit the vibe of Vancouver for us at that time. There was a gay scene. I mentioned, you know, we were, well, had friends involved in it, and we'd go to those clubs sometimes, and just fun, you know. Wouldn't you say, I'm not even going to try and remember any lyrics or sing along here, but I will probably play a couple of songs from that era that, for me, just bring back rich memories. And, I know, it was the same time I bought 3 Joni Mitchell albums. Those are the days when you could have a record store on a local corner near your house you could walk to, you know, and there'd be a vinyl shop with reasonable prices, and it wasn't just A&B Sound downtown on Granville. Or Seymour, wherever it was, you could find bargains. And the Joni Mitchell albums, when I got high, took some drug, and painted the apartment. But this was just the boy albums. Maybe when I was living with my girlfriend at the time. Yeah, I might be mixing two stories here. But at any rate, I had all those albums, all bought at once, and playing one after another. And just loving it. So, that'll be, if there's any music with this podcast, it'll be some of that from that era and what it kind of meant to me at the time. So, new things. I mentioned last time I was not going to talk about the virus, which, again, it's going on, it's spreading, it could get a whole lot worse, who knows? Or just die down when the next big news story comes along. Ontario is having a leadership campaign today for the province of Ontario, leadership for the Liberal Party, which got wiped out in the last election, and that's why we ended up with Conservative Doug Ford, which now everybody wants to get rid of. Well, not quite everybody, but a lot. And so, not a very exciting leadership race, but, we're good at tossing out leaders when we don't like them, and we did get rid of the Liberal Party, and I'm sure they'll probably be back because we'll be getting rid of the Conservative Party next. All right, there's your election update. Local news. God, I'm too hot. 12 minutes, is that enough? Maybe I can just take a break. I think, what I'll do is I'm going to get a little more comfortable here. I'm going to shut off the generator, take my coat off, and relax. The sun is coming in, and it's very pleasant sitting in the road track. It feels like the first warm day. And I figure by April, I should be able to be in fairly decent condition as far as bending and walking and doing things like being able to maneuver this. And I'm thinking, I really should start thinking about a holiday or a trip in the road trek or something like that. My 72nd birthday coming up the end of April. I always like to do something special for my birthday. I was thinking flying back to Vancouver, which is always fun, but, let's just wait and see. Scarborough Dude, I may be back at you just in a matter of minutes, or it may be a few days. I really don't know. Bye for now. Back down.
woman, she's calling from inside. She's a calling from inside, trying to get to you. All the woman really wants, you can give her something too.
The official start. Yes, indeed, I am back in Sal. It is, what is it? It is Wednesday, the 11th of July. July. March, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm still in my pajamas, and that's the way I've been for actually a lot of the time while I've been off. I really am making the most or making the least of this recovery period. I noticed getting into the road trek, it's just that much easier. And each week as I do my physio at the hospital, I can bend a little more. My knee went back to 95 degrees. It was 90 prior to that. I've got to get it up to 105 for a safe bend before they can release me. If that, or I just run out of time. I think they give you eight sessions or something like that. And anyway, today officially marks the start of the pandemic. It's been a pandemic, I guess, for a while, but the World Health Organization said, this is it, folks. We got a pandemic on our hands. And I thought that, you know, if anything, was a fitting time to start podcasting and at least mark the day, because sometimes I like to think if anybody ever went back and listened to any of these podcasts, sifting through for a piece of history, what was going on in the background? Oh, Trump's still president. Oh, my God, what was that like? Well, I'll tell you. And although I really don't, the people would be very disappointed. God damn it, all the guy talks about is himself, his health. Doesn't tell you anything about what's really going on in the real world around him. He's so fucking wrapped up in his own life. So, yeah, there goes that theory. But anyway, here I am recording anyway. For those listening here and now, or in the near future, I haven't felt the urge to record much at all, which is kind of liberating for me, because usually I'm just, you know, I wouldn't say pestered by it, but it's always there. And lately, I guess because really there's not a whole lot to say. This pandemic is pretty serious. I mean, Italy basically has quarantined the whole country. Air Canada stopped all flights to Italy yesterday. It's just, China says, okay, we've got control of it. You know, we shut down the Wuhan, I don't know whether it was the city or the prefecture or whatever. And they've got it controlled, and the president was out walking the streets with a mask and so on, but still sort of saying, hey, We've licked this thing. There's only a few new cases being reported each day, whereas in some degree of denial, Trump is sort of saying, oh, it's under control. And there's been a lot of pushback saying, no, it isn't. You haven't even started yet. The city or the town of New Rochelle, that used to be where, I guess, the Dick Van Dyke Show took place. Or this. I thought it was a fictional town, but that's where... you know, with the woman who became Mary Tyler Moore, or was Mary Tyler Moore, I don't know, his wife, when they did their little show. I'm sure it was New Rochelle, because I remember that name. Anyway, that town is quarantined. Apparently there was a center of a Jewish, I don't know, there's a synagogue or whatever. There were a hub of cases there. And they said, all right, we're just going to bring in the National Guard and really shut down the town. And all over universities are shutting down, saying, oh, we're going to do everything online now. And it's just, it's a major. I mean, it's a major. It's a world event. It's not a war. We've forgotten about the fires in Australia. That's done. Okay, that was before. That's not an issue now in their summer. Talks of nuclear war with North Korea. Well, that's sort of on hold. All missiles are still being fired. Somebody said he might be stepping aside, a crazy little guy. And what else is sort of? Putin has given himself another decade or two in power. The laws were changed, voted in, so that he can stay on until he's about 86 years old, if he wanted to. So that's news. Lots of countries love a good dictator. Russia is one of them. And, here in the States, it looks like Bernie's not going to make it, that people are going for the former, vice president, Obama's vice president, what's his name. I'm a little worried about that. But first of all, I'm a Bernie supporter, and I think what Bernie is saying, like, basically, let's make this country a socialist country, let's look after the poor. That's his message, been the message from the beginning, and most of my American friends have told me, no, we're not ready, we don't want that, it'll never get passed. And so just it was written off as almost a crackpot. But he's been consistent, and then the news, just as social media, if you're only getting your news through social media, through Twitter and Facebook and posts, and suddenly realize, oh my God, all this stuff is coming up, what a nasty man he really is. Well, I didn't know that, it didn't appear that way, and suddenly I'm being flooded. And now the opposite's happened. Now it's with the guy whose name I keep forgetting running for Biden. With Biden, all these stories about, well, he's losing his mind. He's already senile. He's making mistakes, confusing his wife for his sister. And that was kind of a silly little thing. It's not a big deal. But what I'm getting at, it's almost enough to convince you, oh, maybe I've been wrong all this time. Maybe Bernie isn't the good guy. Oh, gee, now the other way. Oh, maybe Biden, it's not that he's not the good choice, but that he's senile. He's got dementia. He can't be president. And it's disturbing. What's disturbing to me is how easily I am swayed by whatever I read. Everything I read becomes so convincing. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, okay, I see it that way now. Oh, I get it. I don't go to the extremes. You're not going to make me a Nazi by reading some article about how the Jews are responsible for all the ills in the world. It's so easy to be manipulated, by so much. And I know that my roots are definitely left of center, socialist, peacenik, against war and big business and lies and so on. And I know I have lots of friends who could point out all the flaws in that. Oh, yeah, you and all that hippy-dippy shit. Flower power, man, doesn't get you anywhere. That's not the real world. And so somebody else could convince me even what I believe are my foundational beliefs are wrong. I am easily swayed. But if I just read enough stuff that sways me from one sort of swing of the pendulum to the other, maybe I'll somewhere down the middle I'll be okay and have a reasonable understanding or outlook on the world. Anyway, I just thought I wanted to bring that up. There's not much else to report on. I really am enjoying this period of long naps with the cat. And I've talked about it before, and it may sound so silly, but when you just have your hand on the cat's stomach, and she's got her two little paws wrapped around your hand, and you become one. I know, hey, a person much younger than me would be saying, surely you're talking about your wife. And I'm saying, no, I'm talking about my cat. It is a beautiful thing. And I know any of my friends who have pets, the love that you feel for those animals and the bond you develop, it's very real. And I know this, when I talk about these pendulum swings, somebody else goes, yeah, well, what about other countries? The kids don't have enough to eat. All you care about, for the money you spend on the wealth of your pet and doctor's visit, you could be supporting a whole family over in some place or other. And you get, oh, okay, God, now I got to feel guilt about that. Okay, I'm a white settler. I'm privileged. I'm spending money on pets. The truth is, our cat doesn't even use a litter box. We haven't bought litter since we've had this cat 5 years. The neighbors haven't complained yet, but I assume he's pooping in other people's gardens, or she is. Tora, we couldn't get near a vet. That's the outdoor cat. So, you know, we buy the cat food. And that cat would be, I mean, I think taking him to a vet at this point would be the worst thing possible. They would just find so much wrong with him. So he's just surviving. He's happy. He gets his bowl of milk and his 2-3 meals a day. So, yeah, I guess what I was saying was not a whole lot has changed in my life. I'm just enjoying this, flipping from the old Star Trek episodes, Turner Classic movies, which I might tape and watch later, and, you know, a snack here, a little lie down there, and every once in a while, like, I did send up one, testing the waters a little bit, and the only thing that's sort of haunting me is my tour this summer, and I'm just waiting for the school to cancel. I can't see how they would want to go ahead and market a tour to a foreign country in these times of uncertainty all over the world about health risks and so on. They're always edgy anyway, and they have canceled for SARS and bird flu. Surely they're going to cancel, but I can't be the one to cancel myself. It has to be them. And then I got to try and get some money back, which I've already paid out on a deposit. But I know I'll be relieved. So I did send a letter, kind of carefully wording it. You know, hope it goes ahead, but boy, oh boy, looking at what's happening all over and knowing how worrisome the parents of these girls who come over to Canada, how worrisome the parents are about their daughters who've never left home and, you know, going to be going off to this adventure to speaking English only with a family they've never met who might even be a family of a different color. My God. And the girls just thrive on it. They have a wonderful time, and the parents write letters of thank yous to the host families. And it is a beautiful thing, and it would be a shame because I guess what I'm getting at is if, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, I probably shouldn't. In fact, maybe I won't say any more about that, but this could be the end of something that's been quite beautiful for going back to 1993. So, yeah. Big part of my life, but gradually, piece by piece, things let go. Anything else? Yeah, sorry about that. I'm wearing a wristband because of the carpal tunnel syndrome that I seem to have. I'm wearing a wristband on my hand, one I had left over. It's meant for the left hand. But I can, if I put it on backwards, I can wear it on the right. It's a Velcro thing with a bar, and it just sort of holds your hand in place. Maybe I already told you this, I don't know. But it does make a difference. It's really alleviated a lot of the discomfort. And who knows, maybe I won't even need surgery. Maybe this is just a rest that it needs. Okay, well, God, I don't really have anything else to say. I came out here, I wanted to sit and sell. It's an absolute mess. I've got to get to the point where I'm doing things. Maybe that's the thing I worry just a little bit about. I mentioned how much I'm enjoying the downtime. And, of course, the pills, the Percocets that I'm taking, just I don't know whether they have a mood enhancer or something, but I'm just generally feeling pretty comfortable when I'm on them, you know, and needing, wow, those first two in the morning, come on, give me a half an hour. Till I'm back in gear again, and okay, now we're fine. And so the idea of actually going back and doing things, doing some work, and cleaning this thing. I've got the sewage system, the special lever that you, or a button that you push to force through the liquids when you're draining your waste tanks. Wasn't working the last time I used it, was not sounding good. And lots of things can go, and you can go online and you will find the people who fix it themselves. Oh yeah, I took this off. use this, got under there using this, was careful about this, bought a replacement here. And I am not one of those people. I'm simply going to have to pay, and I've got to find a very good service place that is not going to gouge me. And they can. I mean, they can just, once they open it up, they can say this or they can say that. What I don't like about some places is you have to deal with a service agent. I don't know what they're called. You never, ever talk to the mechanic or the person doing the work. You go through here and they say, what's the problem? What do you want to do? Okay, and they may or may not remember to make a note on the paper, even though you tell them, look, remember, the front tire is this pressure, rear this. And it goes in, and then you've lost contact. And all you know is they're going to call you when it's done, and you're going to come in and you're going to pay whatever is written on that bill. And you'll never will see the mechanic. But there was a wonderful service provider for road treks outside London, Ontario. And you dealt with the two owners. It was two brothers who had the place. And they would tell you. I mean, one of them gave me a part for almost nothing instead of replacing a whole piece, which I could have just for, this is just for the antenna so I can watch TV. It was cracked. And he said, no, he got in there and he found a way to fix it. And they did. He was the one who pointed out my tires were the wrong pressure because of the last place I had gone to. And something else they repaired cheaply. And you were dealing with a person who was doing the work. And it was incredible. And when Road Trek went bankrupt, and these guys were stung for a bit of money, I guess, had a bit of an inventory and invested in whatever they needed to be a Road Trek service provider, they gave up and stopped. I don't know if they sold the business, but they stopped servicing Road Treks. And it's such a loss, because to find a place like that, even if you have to drive all the way to London, Ontario, it is worth it. So, meanwhile, I've got only one provider, and they're huge. And you know, everybody tells you, when a place is that big, they've got to cover that overhead somehow. And that overhead means it's you who's going to be paying for it. Okay, that wasn't really all that interesting, was it? But then again, part of this, as I was saying to Doug, with a cute little puppy, this is really about just sharing and keep letting everybody know we're alive and doing okay. And it's not about, as it is with some people, putting out a podcast to boost listeners and to be out there like that, you know, want some star quality. I had my thrills in the beginning when there was not much competition, and the name Scarborough Dude meant something. And that's long gone. And I've milked this thing. I really have. And I've got all I ever going to need out of podcasting. And now it's just me doing it because it's a hobby and it's fun. And I kind of like, you know, just hanging in for the game. This is just what I do. And it's not about getting new listeners or having somebody write, you know, call back to, oh man, that was a great show or episode. No, not at all. So I think I'm going to leave it there. I think I'm going to go back in. I've taped a movie, which is kind of, and it's weird. It's one I have seen before, and it should be, I really should obviously know exactly how it ends, and I have no idea. And I know I'm not alone in that. There are other people. I'd only seen it once, and it's probably within the past couple of years, an old black and white film, a mystery. And as I watch it, I'm sort of thinking, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that part. Oh, yeah, I remember that part. But I can't remember ahead to sort of see where it's going to go and what happened to this missing sister at all. You know, and who was the evil person? I think I know, but anyway, I guess that doesn't really matter, does it? Scarborough Dude, signing off from the road trek from Sal on another very lazy recuperating day on this time of pandemic. Oh my God, COVID-19. Look out, boys and girls. The economy's taking a hit. And fortunately for us, we're healthy. My wife works with seniors, and oh my God, she's got to be very careful. And lots things, changes are happening. I mean, they're saying, hey, changes are happening and people have to take action. We have to stop. What is it? Social isolation, distance isolation. There was a word for it, which I was going to use for the title, except I can't remember it now. But anyway, isolating yourself from other people, staying at home, not going into work, not going to crowds, not hanging out with a lot of people. And I'm doing just an absolutely wonderful job of that. Have been since February 10th when I had the knee surgery. Scabber Dude, signing off.
Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you, 'cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in my lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance.
Chick, chick. There's a bell, but why bother? Everything is awkward when I'm wearing my hand brace. The fingers are numb. It's a bloody annoying thing to have on top of dealing with a healing knee. Here we go. Put it right beside the pudding. You ready? Okay, that's the official start. I don't know what segment this is. I don't know how much more time I've got left in this podcast. I'm sitting in my living room where I very rarely podcast from. Watching the news. It's noon on March the, what did I say, 12, 13, I guess. Come on, just fucking tell me. Everything is annoying. 13th today, Friday the 13th, yeah, that's right. Every little thing is just annoying. Parliament shut down for 5 weeks, unless there's an emergency that requires them to come back in and vote something important, all because of the coronavirus. Schools closed. I mean, it's big. It's sweeping. And all sports teams shut down. Like, in my lifetime, I don't remember anything this big. I mean, even I remember SARS, you know, losing my business that year, which for me was a hit, a major hit. I'd already spent the money that I was banking on. And then the H1N1 or the bird flu or whatever in 2009, SARS was 2003, and now this is 2020. And I'm still waiting to hear from my school about canceling, and my heart has gone out of the program. I'm just thinking, If they were to say, yeah, it's going ahead, I would have so much to do now to scramble, and in particular finding families, most of whom are older people, willing to take somebody in from a former, you know, from a country that was hit hard by this, Japan, in these times of uncertainty. I can't wait till July to make sure everybody's okay. I have to have these things in place before then, and that's a big worry. I had paid a deposit for our camp facility. I should have held back. I should have just tried to stall, but instead I paid it as goodwill, and I had no idea the tour would be postponed this year. And I wrote back sort of begging to see if there's any way I could get it back. It's coming out of my pocket personally because I haven't received any down payments or, you know, deposits for the program. This is my payment. So fine, no problem. We understand. We'll apply it to 2021, which from a business point of view is very fair and was the right answer. Okay, it goes to next year. You know, we're not just going to give you your money back. We'll apply it to next year. We're understanding here. But I'm thinking, hey, if there's no 2020, I don't think there's going to be a 2021. So I'm still going to be out that money. But anyway, that's not a huge thing. That is the cost of doing business. Still panic. They're showing stores that are empty, shelves empty in particular, everybody buying toilet paper. And it's one thing, we always have tons of it. And this is the first time in, you know, 10 years that I can remember we're actually low on toilet paper. It seems kind of funny. But no panic buying in this house. We're just getting by. And federal government advising against all international travel. I guess this is going to be a coronavirus update because that is top story. You know, the prime minister's wife was infected and has it, is being treated. I don't think her life is in danger. She's fairly healthy, a lovely woman. And, you know, I mean, that's wow when that happens. So the prime minister himself has had to go into isolation. And this was like the day after the premiers from all the provinces flew into Ottawa for a meeting with the prime minister, like a big deal. And just bam. So it's just one more little sign of how this is impacting absolutely everybody. So no international travel. Our friend Steve is on a boat somewhere, which is where, you know, the hub of so many of these cases. And, boy, I don't know what he's going to be facing. I just hope he doesn't come back with a cough or anything. It's Doc Pinko I'm talking about. I had lots of other things to reflect on to say. And, you know, one little voice said, okay, just make a note of those, okay? So when you get this thing turned on, they'll be front and center. And, of course, they're not. Part of it was, I guess, in times like these, it brings out, I think we're sharing these tweets with John Meadows, the best and the worst of people. And some people are just thoughtless, selfish. You know, I mean, when you get pictures from people in a Walmart or Costco fighting over rolls of toilet paper, pulling each other's hair out. So this is just so disgusting. I guess that's a thing. Maybe it's not the topic I was going to go into, but the almost a class thing of behavior. I understand when people are super rich, like Hollywood people, you know, with five homes scattered around the planet, needing to live in some kind of social distancing, which is what we're being asked to do now. So it relates. We're being asked to practice social distancing. Don't go out in groups. I mean, gosh, they're shutting down Broadway, you know, because they don't want any groups any larger than 500 or even 250 people gathering together at once. Space yourself out. Conferences right and left being canceled. So these people who are rich and famous live like that all the time. I mean, they have their own private jets. They just don't want to be in with the herd. They'd be hounded by people. So they've either got, you know, bodyguards, a lot of them if they're famous, depending on who they are. But they do isolate themselves from the masses. And then when you look and you see sometimes what mass behavior is like, I mean, I saw this in Nigeria when there was a road accident. And normally, okay, somebody called 911. Well, no 911 service there. But instead, what I saw was a panic. Like people who just, there was blood on the road. People went into a frenzy. It was, and I'm, you know, I know people will scream at me if I say this, but it was primitive behavior. It was not, okay, you know, is there a nurse around? Is there a doctor? Where did somebody get the doctor? This wasn't happening. The people were just in a panic mode and in hysteria. This is mob behavior. And this is the frightening thing, like when we watch these series like The Walking Dead and so on, or the book that I just read, The Road, that's just so terrifying. At one point does behavior disintegrate like the Lord of the Flies? You know, when we just sort of lose the things that we've built up over centuries of civilization, so that we don't practice cruel, nasty behavior. And again, I confess, you know, y'all, that's because you're white and you're privileged and you've grown up in a family and had love and you've just never been without. And therefore, you can never understand what it's like to be in, I don't know if there's an excuse for it. I'm thinking of cruel behavior. I'm watching a TV series, and I know I shouldn't be watching it because it's just going to upset me so much. It's called Dirty Money, and it's just the episode I watched was a race car driver, became a race car driver after he had his company made billions, but it was these loan sharks, short-term loans, and they found a way to beat the system where people would take out a $300 loan and automatically, you know, sign up. They're desperate. They needed this money, maybe $500, but they needed the money. And so you sign all these terms of agreement, and bam, you'll get the money right away, no problem. And then in one case, somebody said $45 is coming out of their account every month because you've agreed to have the money taken out of your account automatically. That's one of the check marks you've signed and agreed to. And so they think, oh, great, it's going down. Every month this money is coming out, and soon I'll be done, you know. But they find out, no, that $45 was just restarting the loan because you didn't pay it off in full within that first month. And therefore, we're reapplying. And this is a transaction fee of reapplying and resetting up your loan for you. And in fact, none of the money you've put into, and it's hundreds by now, has touched the loan itself. You haven't paid anything on that loan. It's still what you started with, only you've paid all these other administrative fees for rebooking the loan. It's just disgusting behavior, and it's easily fooled. And the people who were at the top said, we didn't do anything illegal. And they actually ran it through an Indian tribe in Oklahoma who were protected from any state legislation. They could not. Federally, they could be prosecuted, but on state-wise, they could not be. And they used this as a front, and they made them appear that it was their company. And of course, it wasn't. They only got 1% of the profits, and these millions went to these people. And then when the trial came, and the fellow got 16 years in jail, and his, you know, his Porsches and Ferraris towed away from his house, he's almost like crying that how unfair this is. I didn't do anything illegal. None of them were remotely concerned about the poor asshole, the poor guy who needed $500 desperately, couldn't get it from the bank, didn't have the credentials, whatever. And it wasn't for a drug habit. It was just I needed this money. The brakes went on my car. I need my car for my business. I needed this money, and yeah, I'll pay it back. And I don't mind paying $100 in interest, even though it's ridiculous. But no idea that this was going to be scammed. And so billions were made. Like over 1.5 million Americans use this particular company. And the people who were prosecuted crying foul, saying this is not fair. We didn't do anything wrong. I don't understand that behavior, and I don't understand how anybody could abuse. And I'm watching Coronation Street, and Jeff is abusing his wife, like threw food in the garbage because there was no meat in it, and just little things. I mean, this now it sounds like I'm just talking trivia, but I don't understand cruel behavior. It's so far from me, and it's not that I'm saying I'm better than anybody. It's just And I'm trying to, as I've said, I'm trying to, you know, explain why. Oh, of course you're not that way. But probably most people are like me. But there's an awful lot of people out there who will hurt, will abuse, will treat cruelly, will beat, will fight, will steal, will just do all the wrong things. And it just... It's so... I don't know. It's just so wrong. It's so sad. It's so terrible. And is this just... Where does it come from? Is it fear? Is it greed? Is it... Or just you're built that way, that some people are just naturally nasty. That some people, and you just have to go back to school and find out, yeah, there were bullies. Yeah, there were people who, kids, even as kids, would steal something from somebody else, or would beat somebody else, or would humiliate somebody. That it's just in them. And you might try and go back and find out, well, that's what his mother or his father did to him, and that's why he's that way, maybe. But is it not just also our DNA making, and there's a percentage of people who is always going to be cruel? Anyway, that's not exactly what I was going to talk about, but here I am in this time of that's calling on our better nature and our patience, our understanding, and what I was saying in the tweet I posted. It's a time for compassion. Compassion for caring for people who are being isolated and but are struggling with it. Maybe they're old and maybe they can't get out. But what are we doing? And mind you, I'm not doing anything. I'm enjoying my social distancing. I'm having people pick me up and take me to my classes for my physiotherapy. By the way, yesterday I forgot to take my two pills before lunch and went there, and it was so hard to do anything. You really need the painkillers before, and boy, I don't know how much longer. The jar is going down. I had a lot of these things, but it is going down steadily. All right, so I don't know, where does that get us? I've got the TV news in the background going on. This spread, the coronavirus questions, it's so much of that's all anybody's talking about right now, understandably. I thought there were other topics, so maybe I'll stop this section right now, and if there's room for another one, I'll come right back to you, because I'd kind of like to wrap this up. Scarborough Dude, temporarily dinging off.
Too long blonde hair and your eyes are blue. The only thing I ever got from you was sorrow. Sorrow. You're acting funny, trying to spend my money. Get out there. High-class games of sorrow. Sorrow. You never do what you know you ought to. Something tells me you're the devil's daughter. Sorrow. Sorrow. I can't.
It is that same Saturday, but it is the evening now, and I'm going to wrap up here. Just got a few minutes left. I remembered what I wanted to talk about, and I don't really want to talk about it, but it's this, you know, like Harvey Weinstein got sentenced to 23 years in jail, I guess, for rape and, you know, abuse of power and all the things he did to young women wanting to get acting jobs and so on. And everybody felt, well, justice is served. And right away he, you know, appears to have had a heart attack, whatever. And he's, you know, he's going to die in jail if he doesn't get out. But of course, they'll call a retrial and everything else, you know. But what's bothering me is the number of people who said that's not enough. That the people who they say it, I hope they don't mean it, but people who say, yeah, I just hope, you know, they turn him loose on the prison population and somebody shafts him or stabs him or beats him. And that's, I don't understand that thinking. Hey, we should be so pleased we have a justice system. This happened to be American, but I'm talking, you know, in the Western democracies where people are tried. It seems it's as fair a process as it can be. I mean, we all know the rich have an easier time, and if you're poor, you could still be rotting in jail. Though it's not perfect. But the idea that people want more, they want retribution, they want violence, they want pain inflicted on somebody, as if the jail sentence isn't painful enough. I don't understand that. It breaks my heart. And I hear this from normally people who I would maybe even consider friends, or think, yeah, this is fine, but that's not good enough. You know, maybe they're only saying it to show how much they find that person despicable for what they did. But, you know, the people who really who wish torture and pain and suffering and physical violence on somebody, like a joke, yeah, good, he had what's coming to him. I don't understand that. It's wrong, and it's wrong-headed, and it makes me feel that we are still so very primitive in our thinking. You know, yes, what he did was wrong. Punish him and take away his liberty. Maybe it should have happened so much sooner. Maybe that's part of the problem too, but at any rate, don't go wishing somebody stabbed him. And as much as I hated Paul Bernardo, it's sort of the same thing. They isolated him for just to keep him alive because he would have been killed in the general population. But is that justice? Is that the way we want to run our societies? Okay, the other thing is it's just finally hit home that this coronavirus is for real. Mark posted pictures from Ottawa. My wife went shopping today and is calling back about the empty shelves. No, there is no toilet paper. You know, it really has been taken. And lineups 30 minutes long. People are just going crazy buying all this stuff. And it's for real. And now you're hearing, you know, my God, the wife of the prime minister has it. And just the number of the cases that they're expecting and how are they going to deal with it. Meanwhile, China is sort of showing, hey, we closed the last hospital and people are taking off their masks and smiling for the camera. We handled it. But Europe is now the new epicenter for the coronavirus. And it's, wow, it just appears for real. So finally, you know, I've been living in this little secluded world of just recuperating, and it's almost been a lark. And now it's thinking, wow, this might go on for quite some time. So on that note, I'll close things off, kind of a depressing way to close it off. But hey, this is not a happy time. And a lot of people are really starting to feel it. And I think in some ways it's only the beginning. I think there is worse to come for a while. And we'll see. And yet this is, it's almost like this is a chance for mankind. Hey, bring your scientists, your doctors, your technicians, bring everybody getting on solving this problem and finding a cure, a prevention, and a way of saving people's lives. Let's pull together and beat this alien invasion. You know, this is the stuff of science fiction. So there may be some hope for the pandemic we are now in the midst of. Scarborough Dude signing out from a kind of a depressing Friday night in Scarborough. If I said Saturday, I meant Friday. Bye for now.